रिकॉर्डिंग इज ऑन।
हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम टू भक्ति संघा कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल। टुडे वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट टू हैव हिज ग्रेस कमल लोचन प्रभु जी टू एनलाइटन अस ऑन श्रीमद् भागवतम। बिफोर दैट आई हैंड ओवर द कॉल टू गौतमी गंगा प्रभु जी टू इंट्रोड्यूस प्रभु जी। थैंक यू।
थैंक यू मदर जी। हरे कृष्ण डिवोटीज, प्रणाम और गुरु श्री प्रपद गुरु महाराज। Most of us already know Prabhuji, but still I would like to introduce, give a small introduction for benefit of new joiners. Prabhuji was born in Mysore in Madhava Brahmin family in 1973, brought up in Andhra Pradesh in a very orthodox family where he developed natural taste for inquiry into the mysteries of God's creation. Passed out of Marine Engineering Research Institute, Calcutta in 1994. It is there in the college as a cadet he came in touch with the devotees of International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He found that all the unanswered questions were completely satisfied by in the books of Srila Prabhupada. Still, as an engineering student, he studied Bhagavad Gita 5 times and mastered the Gaudiya Vaishnava Vedanta philosophy in a short period of 2 years and was initiated into the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami. He joined the Merchant Navy as an engineering officer and worked for 3 years. During this time, he felt the urge to teach the message of Gita to children and youth who are misguided by the consumerism. So he gave up his lucrative job and joined ISKCON Mira Road, where he was promoted as the vice president of ISKCON Mira Road in a year. And he's currently the co-president of ISKCON Mira Road. He is also a visiting professor in MS University for Management and Social Work faculties, and also conduct seminars on personality development topics in educational and corporate sectors. His only concern is that children and youth should understand the moral and spiritual values as enunciated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. His life is dedicated to teach children and youth. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dharan Pranam, welcome to Bhakti Sangha call. Please take the call whenever you're ready, Prabhuji. Enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Krishna Kamalachar Prabhuji, you're on mute, Prabhu.
Yeah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Naruttamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirayet Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Rai Naishchiki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text number 41. Ka Nama Ka Nama Vira Vikhyata Vikhyatam Vadanyam Priyadarshanam Na Vrinita Priyam Praptam Madrishi Tvatrisham Patim. Ka Nama Vira Vikhyatam Ka Nama Vira Vikhyata Vikhyatam Vadanyam Priyadarshanam Na Vrinita Priyam Praptam Na Vrinita Priyam Praptam Matrishi Tvatrisham Patim Matrishi Tvatrisham Patim Ka Nama Vira Vikhyatam Vadanyam Priyadarshanam Vadanyam Priyadarshanam Na Vrinita Priyam Praptam Matrishi Tvatrisham Patim Matrishi Tvatrisham Patim. Word to word meaning. Ka, who, Nama, indeed, Veera, my dear hero, Vikyatam, famous, Vadanyam, magnanimous, Priyadarshanam, beautiful, Na, not, Vrinita, would accept, Priyam, easily, Praptam, gotten, Madrashi, like me, Padrisham, like you, Patim, husband. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oh, my dear hero, who in this world will not accept a husband like you? You are so famous, so magnanimous, so beautiful, and so easily gotten. Purport. Every husband is certainly a great hero to his wife. In other words, if a woman loves a man, that man appears very beautiful and magnanimous. Unless one becomes beautiful in the eyes of another, one cannot dedicate his whole life to another. The husband is considered very magnanimous because he gives as many children to the wife as she likes. Every woman is fond of children. Therefore, any husband who can please his wife by sex and give her children is considered very magnanimous. Not only does the husband become magnanimous by begetting children, by giving his wife ornaments, nice food and dress, he keeps her completely under submission. Such a satisfied wife will never give up the company of her husband. Manusamhita recommends that to keep a wife satisfied, a husband should give her some ornaments, because women are generally fond of a home, ornaments, dress, children, etc. In this way, the woman is the center of all material enjoyment. In this regard, the word vikyatam is very significant. A man is always famous for his aggression towards a beautiful woman. And such aggression sometimes considered rape. Although rape is not legally allowed, in fact, it is a fact that a woman likes a man who is very expert at rape. Om Ajnat Mirandasya Gyanan Jana Shalapaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivyam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saganalita Shivishakanvitamsya. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shivasadi Gaurav Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare. So now you transfer to Zoom. The whole world is using Zoom these days because of Corona. And all the devotees in the lockdown, they have taken best advantage of Zoom. Earlier, we never heard about this Zoom. Zoom was something else. When a car drives very fast, Then you would say, oh, it zoomed past us. But I never heard there's something called Zoom. It came to know just a couple of months back when some devotee told me, Prabhuji, now you start giving lectures on Zoom. Then whole day I'm on Zoom now, practically 8 hours a day. Anyhow, back to your purport today, or the verse today. Purport is the most controversial word, purport, and I don't know why this purport came to me. Maybe intentionally it was selected for me or what, I don't know. But still, let me deal with this purport and also the subject matter. The subject matter, as you know, is Puranjana Pakyana. Now, Narada is showing mercy to Puranjana, to Prachina Bhari. Lord Shiva showed mercy to the Prachetas by directly speaking them pure devotional service. But his father, their father, Pracheta's father, that is Puranjana, Prachina Bhari, he was involved so much into Karma Kanda. So it required somebody like expert preacher like Narada. Lord Shiva is an expert preacher, but not a very tactful preacher. He is a straightforward preacher. But Narada is an expert preacher, at the same time is a tactful preacher. He knows what to speak, whom to, how and how to speak, and when to speak. Now when the children are away, now he went to the palace of Prachina Bharhi. Then he showed to Prachina Bharhi, you see, those all the animals what you killed in the sacrifice, they are all waiting for you to haunt you. Though you have done a sacrifice, because it involves killing, they are all having the grudge on you. You have to face the reactions for it. Then Prachina Bharhi told, oh, Narada, please tell me how to get out of this karmic tendency. So then Narada, he thought, let me speak Upakhyana. That is what is called Puranjana Upakhyana. You convey a meaning indirectly. No direct. Direct way of telling is Sutena, like a master tells a servant. You tell the story with a story which has happened, with the Itihasa, that is known as Sutena Arthena. Andasa means with an allegorical story. You speak about something to convey the meaning of something else. So, three chapters practically talk about the Upakhyana, Puranjana Upakhyana. Now, the whole thing started with Puranjana. We know the story that how he, Puranjana. So, he, one who resides in the Pura body, Puranjana Upakhyana. So he is going, wandering from different bodies to different bodies, one body to another body. He was not satisfied till he came to the human form of life. That too in the earth, in the Bharatvarsha. So there, his whole body has been described by how it is. Pura means a city. Jana means one who stays in the city. So this body has been described very nicely. And now he has to use the body for sense enjoyment. So for that, the introduction of the queen happens. This queen is Tamasa Buddhi, or the materialistic intelligence. Srila Prabhupada says, intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. And this intelligence, which is actually Tamasa Buddhi, it gives energy to the senses. That is why the senses are followed by, 10 senses are followed, are following her. And along with the 10 senses, they only function, these 10 senses, when the prana is there. So there is a snake, 5-hooded serpent behind her. So this is actually prana, pancha pranas, by which the senses can act for enjoyment. So now when she came, then Puranjana became very captivated by the beauty. So, when Srila Prabhupada describes about the purport in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where lust has been described, lust at different levels. Now, when the lust is covering the body or the covering the consciousness, like a smoke would cover the fire, that is human. And when the lust is covering the consciousness, like dust over the mirror, it is more. And when the lust is covering, like embryo is covered by the womb, that is two tamasic, animals, plants, animals, and the humans. So the lust is covering at different degrees. The consciousness has been covered by this lust at different degrees. Now, this lust is such a thing that it is residing in Indriyani Manaha. Buddhi, Indriyani Mano Buddhi, yes, Adhishtanam Uchyate. When the lust is in the senses, then it is not as dangerous as it is in the Manaha, mind. And more dangerous is when the lust is attacking the intelligence. Now, here, the lust in the Puranjara is completely conquered by the intelligence of the queen who has come. Puranjara is the king and he is the queen here. The queen is none other than Tamasa Buddhi. Of course, this Tamasa Buddhi is also another name is Ahankara. And of course, we call it as intelligence for now. Now this intelligence has come. And now when Puranjana surrendered to the intelligence, now the intelligence is surrendering to Puranjana. So the intelligence is just a beautiful queen. She just came. Now it is a mistake of the jiva to embrace this mithyahankar. So that is where all the problems started. All the problems started when you got captivated by this intelligence. Like a nice young boy who is studying very nicely, doing all the work, very submissive to the parents. And all of a sudden, he sees the neighbors. Recently, neighbor shifted and had a young daughter. Now he sees her and gets captivated. Now he stops studying, doesn't listen to parent, becomes arrogant, and his whole routine gets spoiled. So, in the same way, when the living entity sees this intelligence, it gets bewildered. So, seeing the bewilderment, the intelligence takes advantage. Now, the whole description, what is going on now, is how the intelligence is taking advantage of the surrender of Puranjana to intelligence. Now, she goes on describing. Narada explains that ittam puranjanam nari yachamanam adhiravat adhyana tat viram asanti viramohita. This viramohita, Puranjana, is Mohita. He got bewildered. And Adhiravat. Vyasa uses this word, describes Puranjana, who surrendered to intelligence, as Adhiravat. Adhira means one who has not controlled his senses, is foolish. He is intelligent, but actually became fool by looking at this intelligence. So, he was quite happy, no problem. But, he was captivated by the beauty of this intelligence. So, actually, he was intelligent. He has the knowledge by his very nature, because the soul has the knowledge. But still, what has happened is intelligence became captivated by his mind, became his consciousness got captivated by the Tamasa Buddhi. So the spiritual nature of the jiva was completely forgotten. The ananda, which is supposed to derive from the living, from the soul, he totally forgot. And he thought ananda is only attained through this intelligence. I need to take her support. This way, this intelligence starts speaking. Its queen starts speaking. Yes. Na vidama vayam samyak kartaram purushashava. Because he asks, who are you, etc. She went on answering every question. She said, I don't know who produced me. And I do not know who is my family. And I don't know, but I know who is accompanying me. They are none other than my servants, They're all my servants. They're all my friends. And the snake which is coming along with me, I also know the snake is actually supporting me. And he says, she starts saying, oh, by my fortune, you have come here. I'm just searching somebody to support, somebody to give shelter to me. Now you have come here to give shelter to me. Actually, intelligence alone in this world cannot do anything. Lust, which is there in the intelligence, cannot do anything for the living entity till you succumb to it. That is why Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna, Atakyena Prabhuttoyam Papam Charati Purusha Anichana Pivarshaya Baladi Unujitaha. So why is it that, what is the thing which is forcing me to do something which I am not supposed to do? And what is the thing which is forcing me not to do something which I am supposed to do? So then, Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha Sarajogana Samadbhava Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyena Mihavarinam. Krishna answers with this question, with this verse. He says, it is not the jiva. It is Kama Yesha Krodha Yesha. It is not the jiva which is having the problem. When you give attention to the lust, to Rajaguna, Rajas, that is the problem. When you give attention to the sense objects, the intelligence, that is the problem. Because Puranjana gave attention to the intelligence, now intelligence, here the queen, is depicted as the queen, now she is completely overtaken. She is completely taking over the consciousness. And she says, oh, let us stay here in the city of nine gates. That is why she says, Purin Navamukhim Vibho, let us stay here and happily enjoy. Like when the young girl get impressed with the young man, they fall in love with each other. She says, let us permanently stay. Lifelong we'll stay in this house, we'll make a house and stay. And in this way, she goes on saying that why don't you go to somebody else? You're looking for a husband. Now go to somebody else. She says, no. Tam nu tvaranyam ramaye. How can I enjoy anybody else? Because he artijan akovidam. Akovidam. All the other people, they don't know how to enjoy me. So, if I really want to enjoy, I require somebody who is an expert. Akovidam. And not only akovidam, they are asam paraya bhimukam aswatana vidam pashtum. They are like animals. So she starts criticizing those people who are in tamoguna. They are in tamas. They are so peace, so horrible. Actually, those who are in tamoguna and sattoguna, they are useless for enjoyment. Tamoguna people will be sleeping and sattoguna people will be uninterested. So I want somebody in passion. So this is why I want to inject passion into you, make you passionate. Suppose somebody is born as a tree, then it is very difficult. There is no question of any sense enjoyment in that. One has to be expert also. It is not that if you're not expert, then expert in battle, you cannot really enjoy. Because there will be always some competition, somebody will come and take away the enjoyment from you. So, you should be very expert. And not only that, if you should be very courageous, you may have all the power but no courage, then what is the use? And I find, oh, Puranjana, you have all these qualities. And now, I want to be with you. So in this way, the intelligence is captivating the jiva to get conditioned. And then it gives a lot of enticement. It's not just some temporary enjoyment we want to have. We want to live permanently. How? Dharmo hi artha kamo cha prajanando mrisham. So let us stay in a household life and have children and enjoy dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And also, we'll go to heavenly planets and enjoy. And these things are not known by the sannyasis. So she says, dharma, artha, kama only. It doesn't talk about moksha. Because she's only interested, intelligence or tamasabuddhi is only interested in dharma, artha, kama. That's all. Now comes. She goes on saying that not only we'll be happy. Pitru, Devarshi, Martyanam. All those people who are Pitris, the Devatas, the sages, the humans. And especially you. Bhutanam, Atmanaschaha, Shemam Vindati, Sharanam. So the household life is such a best life because of me, because of us as householders. Sannyasis are being maintained, Pitris are maintained, and the Devatas are maintained, and other living entities are maintained. We will have business, then we'll have a lot of employment for people. So in this way, we'll benefit the entire world. That is why householder life is the best life. So let us get into household life. And now she goes on further telling in this particular verse. Now, she talks about the qualities of a husband who is in mode of passion. Because she is passionate, the tamasabuddhi is passionate, and she wants somebody in passion. So, the subject matter of this verse is to be understood very nicely. The subject matter of this verse is a passionate woman who is a tamasabuddhi or materialistic intelligence is compared to a woman in mode of passion. Now, a woman in mode of passion is being described here. And she would like to have a man in mode of passion. Atmavat manyate jagat. You want to have only those things which you would like to have. So, the passionate person would like to have a passionate person as a mate. Like these days, there are different criteria of getting married. Earlier, the Vedic system of getting married was, you see the Janman Kundali, mix, match, everything is fine. The social economic status and also their character means how their ancestors are. And then the approval of the parents. And this is how the marriage alliance would happen. Vivaha alliance would happen. But now it is a totally different kind of scenario. Now, one boy whom I knew many years, he became a doctor. Now, he's a devotee. He is now doing super specialization. And his father is trying to search a girl for him. And every time, he's rejecting. The father, he says something and rejects the girl. The father is fed up. The father told me, oh, you know my son very well. He's taking guidance from you. Please talk to him. Then I asked him, what is this going on? Then he told, my father is bringing all different kinds of girls and I want to get married to them. I told, whom do you get married to? You are in love with somebody? No, I'm not in love with somebody. Then I told him, frankly, you tell me frankly, you are a surgeon. He told, yes. You want to get married to anesthesist, isn't it? Then he told me, Prabhuji, how do you know? I told, I know it very well. Because when you do surgery, you want anesthesist to be there. And if she's your wife, very convenient, you can open your own hospital. Just see. All kinds of, even Vyasa would be bewildered. Who wrote, Yajnavalka would be bewildered, who wrote the Dharma Shastras. What is the criteria of getting married? They see the compatibility of their profession, and then so that there is compatibility in staying together. That means even though they fight, anyway, they come and meet in the operation theater every day. So even if they fight, they have to live together anyhow. So the compatibility is seen, and of course, compatibility, the Vedic way of compatibility, seeing everything is gone these days. Now, some young boy and young girl, they meet and then they think of compatibility. I like you like me, that's all. So that is how compatibility is seen. So his compatibility is there. But here, what is being seen is a woman in mode of passion. If you see this verse in connection with the 39th verse, sorry, 38th verse. Kamnu twad anyam ramayet hi artijan akovidam. She gives a description of some unqualified men. And she gives those unqualified men are, number one, brahmanas. I don't want a Brahmin man. Because this Brahmin is maybe expertise, having expertise in sex. But he cannot fight. He's darpok. Or it is not his nature to fight. And a Vaishya's nature is not to fight. So I want a fighter. So I don't want a person who is inexperienced in battle. That means she did not want a Brahmin. Neither she wanted a person in ignorance, that is Vaishya. She wanted a person with a Kshatriya. And that what kind of Kshatriya? And he should be courageous. That means if somebody comes to fight with him, he should go and fight and completely kill that person. He should be courageous. And not only that, he should be very experienced in thinking about the future. Yeah, that means asvastham vidam pashum. He should not be like that. He should be very expert in arranging things. He should be expert in management. So she wanted a kshatriya. Kshatriya means predominant mode of passion. So that means she is expecting a person in mode of passion means she is a woman in mode of passion. So now, here there are two subjects to be understood clearly. When I say woman, I'm not talking about woman. Here it is called intelligence. Now it is compared to a woman here. That is why the woman's body, why Tamasa Buddhi, though it is Tamasa Buddhi, the predominantly it is Rajas. Because it is the intelligence which gives the energy for all the actions. If you go to the Sankhya, and talking about the Sankhya aspect of it, when the Tamasa Buddhi is projected through mind, projected to goodness, that is Vaikarika, what manifested? Mind and the controlling demigods manifested. Third chapter, third canto, 26th verse. 26th chapter. Third canto, 26th chapter. So then Taijasa. So when Taijasa description, when the Tamasa Buddhi or Ahankara is projected to through passion, intelligence and senses manifested. Remember that. The 10 senses, 5 working senses and the 5 knowledge gaining senses were manifest along with intelligence when the Tamasa Buddhi or Mithya Ahankara was projected through passion. The passion is a natural ingredient in intelligence. So if intelligence is not there, then even though desires are there, they would be dormant. Nobody would act. If intelligence is not there, then the senses would not act. It is intelligence which actually gives the power to the senses to act. The knowledge gaining senses and the working senses. So it is basically passion. Now, what is going described is passion is compared to a queen or the woman here. Why it is compared? The question is why? Now, before that, I'll try to ask you a question. Somebody may say, intelligence should be coming under the category it should be projected through the goodness, sattvam sanjayate jnanam. Because intelligence gives inertia or the energy for the senses to gain knowledge. The knowledge gaining senses, that means you are getting knowledge. Sattvam Sanjayate Jnanam. So, the Tamasa Buddhi or Ahankara projected through goodness should produce intelligence. It is not through passion. There is an argument. There is a school of thought like that. But Vyasa in the Vedanta Sutras, he refutes that. And Bhagavatam clearly says, no, we don't accept that. Now, mind is chanchala. Then it should project, it should be manifesting through passion. Why you put it in goodness? Though mind is chanchala, but mind is just, there is no action in mind. It experiences thinking, feeling, willing. It is only just a store of the thoughts, that's all. The activity, passion, is actually intelligence. Now, come, I'm just spoke Sankhya. I hope I should not confuse you. Those who have some idea of the 26th chapter of the third canto would have understood what I just spoke. Now, if you're not understood, just keep it as it is. Now, I spoke all these things to prove that here, Tamasa Buddhi, you substitute by passion. Now, passion is compared to women. Why? Because the woman's body is predominantly made of passion. There all the bodies are made, different bodies are made. All the bodies are made from the modes of nature only. And a woman's body is predominantly passionate. That is why work is done by woman. Man, if he does, he does garbage only. Just see in the house, who does the work? Woman only does the work. Man, if at all he does, it is only because the woman is driving. Hey, do. Then he goes, okay, I'll do. Huh? Otherwise, all the movement in this world, all happens because of woman only. Because their body is made up of passion. Why big buildings are built? Why a man should buy a flat? He was living in a simple hostel, one room, peacefully in engineering college. As a bachelor, he would be living in anywhere. When he wanted to go to his house, meet his parents, he would go without ticket sometimes. He would just climb the train. Maximum, buy a newspaper, put near the bathroom and sleep. But moment he gets married, he has to do all the arrangement. And because the activity increases, because it is passion. Stri vistarati, that is, the nature of woman is to increase. Because their body is made up of passion. And if you see all the work, it is done by women very nicely. That is why I always advise the ladies who complain, my husband doesn't help me in the household affairs. It is good. If he helps you, your work will increase. Because he will do so much of garbad. Because if you ask him to fold the bed sheet, he will fold in such a way, it will look like an octopus. And you get heavy on him. What kind of fold you have done? So you have to unfold it and fold it again. When a woman folds the bed sheet, it is exactly like we can measure it. It's like a square or a rectangle. Perfect rectangle. Not even a centimeter, millimeter would be differentiated. But a man would fold the bed sheet, he would make an octopus out of it. Just see chapati. When a man makes a chapati, of course, there are some experienced who are artists, they do nicely. In general, I'm talking. See, that all chapati would look like an octopus. And a woman makes it exactly, even a divider would not make such a round one. Beautiful. When woman would serve prasad, you see the plate, you take a photograph of it, so nicely arranged. So they're very expert in dealing in matter and making things move. If no woman would have been existing in this world, all the men would be sitting under a tree, only wearing kopins, nothing else. They would be just sitting. Okay, chant and be happy. If they are devotees. If they are not devotees, they would sleep. That's all. So, that is the basic nature. That is why the Tamasa Buddhi, which is inherently passion, has been compared to a woman here. Now, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about a qualified husband for a woman in passion, woman in mode of passion. Of course, there are women in mode of goodness, women in mode of passion, women in mode of ignorance, mixed also. Basically, their body and in mind is passion, but in that also there is goodness, passion, ignorance. So Srila Prabhupada gives a purport describing a woman in passion, what kind of husband he would choose, she would choose, and what kind of husband is required for a woman in passion. So now, for a woman in goodness, you require a husband who is interested in spiritual life. Simple living, high thinking, comes back home early, like that kind of husband. Now for a woman in mode of passion, what kind of husband is required? Kamana vira vikyatam. She wants a husband who is famous. Now, what is the meaning of famous here? So, here, famous in this world, there are many people who are famous for their spiritual life and spiritual knowledge. No. But she wants somebody who is famous among women. Famous among women. That is why fame is a quality of woman. If you see Bhagavad Gita, it is described clearly. I'm not getting into that subject matter now. Now, woman in passion, she wants to get married to a man because to show to another woman that I got him, you could not. So that's vikyatam. It's passion. Now, going further, vadanyam. See, my husband got me this gold. My husband got me this thing. What did you get? That means I am keeping my husband under my control. So, vadanyam, that means I make him merciful towards me. But actually, it is me who made him merciful towards me. It is my art. Passion, woman in passion would drive their husbands to work hard and hard and hard and in such, and make them, give them gifts to please. And if they are upset, the moment the woman in passion is upset, they make sure the husband begs and pleads. Tell me what you want, tell me what you want, what you want, what you want. I'll please you. So Kaikeyi was like that kind of person. And Dasharatha was that kind of person. Anyway, I don't want to get into Ramayana now. So, Vadanyam, Priyadarshanam. Now, what is the meaning of Priyadarshanam? He should be handsome. He should be very handsome. Priyadarshanam. So, Srila Prabhupada, he talks about this Priyadarshanam. He says that Priyadarshana means that one should be handsome. And Vadanyam, he describes a lot about Vadanya, that is being merciful. That means he pleases her by giving children and different things which she, gold and all these things. Vadanyam, he should be handsome. So now, a woman in mode of goodness would not hanker for all these things. I can give many examples. I'll give the example of Ahalya, example of Sati, who came as Parvati in the next life and got only married to Shiva. If you see Lord Shiva, who is he? He's living in Shamshan. He has no house. And he is basically Babaji, kind of very, very renounced person. He doesn't even have a house to stay. And Parvati wanted to get married only to Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, though had all these qualities, he did not manifest it. He was like a Babaji. So now, woman like Parvati, she wanted a saintly man as husband, like Lord Shiva, because she was in goodness. Goodness was predominant. Sattam sanjayate jnanam. Basically, in mode of passion, everybody wants to get something to show off to people. So that is why this word vikyatam. Now, famous among women. Who becomes famous among women? One who is very sexually active. That person becomes very famous among women. So a lot of women would like to have him as their as her friend. So now among them, the woman, they have a competition to show to the other woman that I got him. So for that sake, to show to the others, for that sake, they are willing to accept any aggression from man. So now the context had to be understood. Srila Prabhupada, when he writes the statement, and lots and lots of criticism has been ISKCON has been facing because of this one line. I received an email from my friend, my college mate, who was a very well-wisher of mine, and he told that there's a big talk going on in our college group that Srila Prabhupada wrote this statement because when the Nirbhaya case was happening in India, this statement of Prabhupada went to a certain extent for a discussion among the so-called intelligentsia of India, many Indian intellectual people, that they started saying that ISKCON supports rape. The Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada supports rape. Now they take one statement like this and then make a big hue and cry of it. So then he wrote an email to me. Then I told, I don't want to give any written communication to you. Then I gave it the entire class what I'm giving to you now. 15 minutes I spoke to him and spoke to him and then convinced him that first thing, whatever is written by our founder Acharya cannot be changed. It was written, it is a document. It is not a ISKCON official statement to the Women's Affairs, Ministry of Women's Affairs. We're not doing that. This is an official statement. It is a document which is written maybe around 50, 60 years back. Now, how can we change it? We cannot change it because he urged me to approach the BBT and to edit this particular phrase. We cannot do that, number one. Number two, now whenever a pure devotee writes something, he doesn't write it out of whims. This statement, what is written, is absolutely true as much as other statements are absolutely true. It is actually no less than any other statement. It is a statement written in Prabhupada's book. It is true. It has to be accepted. The line, although rape is not legally allowed, it is a fact that a woman likes a man who is very expert in rape. Now, vikyatam, expertise. Who is this woman Srila Prabhupada talking about? It is an allegorical story. He is talking about the tamasa buddhi or materialistic intelligence. And it is the nature of the materialistic intelligence that she wants to be abused. The materialistic nature, intelligence wants to be abused by the soul, by the conditioned soul. How? I will tell you. If a person is very intelligent, then he works hard. The more a person is intelligent, he works hard. And he works hard to such an extent, he overworks, becomes tired and sick. Those who are working in the corporate companies, just see, they're very intelligent people, but they are not intelligent in managing their work. How much should I work? How much I require? In that case, they are not intelligent. They are intelligent in working, and their intelligence, what? They abuse their intelligence. They don't use it. These and IIMs and the professionals and high-flying people, what they do? They earn more and spend more. Bigger the tree, the bigger the wind. Nobody saves any money. They don't have any intelligence in mode of goodness. It is a passion which actually makes them abuse. So what is the discussion is, the conditioned soul abusing the intelligence. So that is what is the subject matter here. If you don't know the comparison, then you land up in this. And of course, if you take it as it is, that is, it's a woman being abused here, and they like to be abused, then yes, it is a fact. A woman in mode of passion likes to be abused. Because by hook or crook, she wants to show that I am better than other women. It is a psychology which is spoken here. This word woman doesn't refer to the woman in mode of goodness and ignorance, of course. It refers to a person in mode of passion. So, kanam avira vikyatam vadanyam 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 means very generous. Priyadarshanam, he should be handsome. He is very, very handsome. Navrinita priyam praptam. Now, somehow the other, madrashi tvadrisham patim. Who will not, what person like me would not accept a husband like you? Na vinita, who will not accept you? Because you have all these qualities. And priyam praptam, I got you as your husband. I want, priyam praptam, I met you. And madrashi tvadrisham patim, who is not going to accept you as husband? In this way, this passion is instigating the conditioned soul so that he may start acting, so that he can get into the karmic reaction, so that he can go on repeated birth, life, birth, death, old age, increases, and go on and on and on. So, we stop here. Any questions, please do ask. So, the chat box also you can type, you can type your questions. Or if you want to ask, you can ask your questions.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for your explanations. I really appreciate the class, particularly on this purport, because as a Westerner preaching to other Westerners, things like this are often a very big challenge. So I really appreciate the class. I do have a couple of, I also really appreciate your statements toward the end, that a materialistic person wants to be abused and that a conditioned soul abuses their intelligence. I think that that's brilliant, actually. My only question is, can you explain again how a woman's body is comes from passion or is made of passion? That I didn't quite understand that connection.
Yes. We should know the three modes of nature. They mix together and then different bodies are formed. Now, when it comes to the woman's body, the ingredient of passion is more in that body, because they need to do work. So for work, you require two things. One is the subtle passion which drives the work, and a body also which can tolerate that kind of work. See, woman, when she works whole day, she is not tired. She has energy to do something else. She works whole day in the office, especially I'm talking about even these days scenario. Women working in the office these days, they come home, they cook, and then take care of children, do everything. What is husband doing? Lying, tired. And what did he do in the office? Hardly any work. So, for the work to happen, any movement to happen, passion is required. And that is why their body and the psychology, subtle body, and the gross body has a more ingredient of passion. Now, another nature of passion is restless, disturbed. For a small insult, man would just say, okay, no problem, forget. But a woman cannot. It is the very nature. You don't have to do a big research about it. It is all research. A small insult makes the mind very much agitated. And that would come out in the form of emotion. So emotions of the material world, on the material platform, these emotions, they're actually passion. So you find emotional, women are more emotional. That shows that they have passion. And now it is required, because the woman's psychology toggles between two, that is rational, that means intelligence, logic, and emotion. They both simultaneously function, and that is required for taking care of the family. You need to have the intelligence, logic, as well as emotion. But a man's body is not designed for that. Man's psychology is not designed for that. Either he goes to emotional, breaks down, and then cries and all that, or he just becomes too logical. Oh, you take care. Like a simple example I'll give. Baby is crying. Now, the mother, she has gone to take bath. Now, here the man, one kind of man would, baby's crying. And she says, I'm coming, wait for a few minutes. No, I have to do something. He tries to do something and the baby cries more because he messes with the baby. He goes to change the diapers, he cannot. And he messes and the baby cries more. Or another kind of man, he would say, Are baby is crying, Baba, you come and take care. I cannot do anything. He's reading the newspaper. Now this lady who comes out, mother, and then changes the diaper so nicely, talks to the baby, says, okay, nice. Both emotion is also working and the intelligence is also working. For these two things to happen, you need to have passion. Otherwise, it is very difficult for managing things, managing household affairs. It is only done by women. Managing household affairs can only be done by women. Man cannot do it. He only mess up. That is why family can be together. Family means woman. It is not man. Don't expect your husband to be a very good family person. He is like that only. Let him go to temple and chant. You take care of the house. And let the man not interfere in any household affairs. Because even if he interferes, he'll only mess up. Because he's not meant for that. His psychology is not meant for that. Either he get too emotional or he'll to become too logical and then say, I'm going out. I'm fed up. So it's not easy to manage a house. That is why Krishna, he has created this body where work has to be done. What to speak of a house? Even in our temples, even right from Prabhupada's time, who worked hard for Krishna? Of course, it's women. Because they have passion, they can do that. So that's what I can say as an answer to your question. I'm not so good in all these things, but I don't have any experience of all these things.
Hare Krishna, you may not have experience, but you, yes, I very much understood what you were saying. And yes, I can definitely resonate with much of what you said. So thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I also had a question about your statement about the woman's body being in the mode of passion.
Yeah.
So you also mentioned that there are certain women who are in the mode of goodness, some in the mode of ignorance. So
yes.
Are those other women, are those the exception, and then those in the mode of passion, that's the norm? Trying to understand, how to reconcile.
So basic ingredient of a body of a woman is passion. In that, the content of goodness is more than we say woman in goodness. The content of passion is more, we say woman in passion. The content of ignorance is more than we say woman in ignorance. The basic ingredient is ignorance. Like we say, a brahmana, it basically is supposed to be in goodness. But there is a passionate brahmana, there is a brahmana in goodness, there is brahmana in passion, and then brahmana in mode of ignorance. It's like that.
So a woman in the mode of goodness, still her basic ingredient, her main ingredient is passion?
Passion, yes.
Even when she's in goodness?
Yes, yes. Basically, they're emotional. Emotions come out. Even a woman in mode of goodness. Like, when it came to, I talked about Ahalya. Ahalya, she belonged to a Kshatriya king, Kshatriya daughter. And she was so beautiful, all the demigods, the biggest kings, the greatest kings of the time, they were in line to get married to her. She just rejected. Whom did she get married to? Gautama Rishi. And where is he staying? In a small hut. She came and served Gautama Rishi. So she selected a person like a Rishi to be her husband because of her goodness. But when the time came when Gautama Rishi's consciousness was haunted by Indra, Indra had an eye on Ahalya right from before her marriage. Now he just could not tolerate how she just got married to Gautama. So he haunted the consciousness of Gautama. And Gautama went in the morning time, when it's Brahmamurta time, then he had enjoyment with Ahalya. Ahalya, after that, Gautama, he felt, hey, what did I do? Then he repented. At that time, people say that he cursed Ahalya. It is not that he cursed Ahalya. He told Ahalya, you are Dharmapatni. You are supposed to take care of my dharma. You are supposed to protect my dharma. And you also did not help me in this dharma. When I went on the path of adharma, why you succumbed to me? Then she felt very emotional and started crying. And she told, let me not have this body at all. So that emotion took her to such a level that she said, no, I don't want to live in this body anymore. Then she became like an invisible person and started staying and doing tapasya in the ashram near the ashes where the Yajna Kunda ashes are there. And Gautama went to do tapasya. So, it is the basic ingredient. Like, for example, you have some foodstuffs in passion. There are some foodstuffs in passion. Like, you have kalimirch. What is it, kalimirch? Black pepper. Black pepper is pepper. It's actually passion. But when you put it in proper quantity, that acts as a digestive element. So the usage of the thing in mode of passion can be in goodness. So you're getting the point how it is not just one passion, ignorance, goodness. It is all a very complicated synergy. I can use the word. It's like that.
But when you say basic ingredient, is that the same as saying it's the predominant ingredient?
Yes, yes, yes.
So then, therefore, a woman in goodness, her predominant ingredient is passion, but
yes.
At times, the goodness will take precedence, but it's only
that is why woman requires a proper guidance, a proper shelter. Passion is like energy. They should be protected and directed. So even a woman in goodness or passion or ignorance, their basic ingredient is that of passion. That is why they require shelter. They require guidance. They require protection.
Mm. Okay, one other question, Prabhu. you know, you spent a lot of time talking about the psychological makeup of a woman, you know, and her strengths. So what would you say, how would you describe the psychological makeup and the strengths of women?
Strength of?
Of a man.
I don't hear the last word.
M-A-N, man versus man. Woman. The psychological strength. Yeah. And how would you
the
describe
psychological that? Strength. Uh-huh. The psychological strength of a man is that of logic. If a man is not very logical, then he is basically meant to develop renunciation. Man's body, a man's life is meant to develop renunciation, and a woman's body is meant to develop attachment to a spiritually realized personality, a husband. So, the Vedic system is a man should be detached, woman should be attached. So it's very natural, and then the family will be very nice. If it is opposite, then the whole world will be a mess.
But how would he apply that strength in a family situation? What's the best application for that in a family situation?
Because he can be a good counselor to the woman. Man can be a good counselor to a woman. So whatever her emotional feelings are, she can vent out to the man, and the man can hear and take it and be peaceful. And then give proper guidance, console. That's how he can do that. That is his strength. Actually, man's body is only, and psychology is only meant for spiritual understanding, spiritual guidance. Understand the scriptures, give scriptural guidance. And any problem comes, don't worry, I am there. Tell all these kind of things. It's more of a guidance. Of course, there are different kinds of men. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But basically, man is the one who says, I am there to protect you. You don't worry, I am there. One who actually gives protection to the wife, that is called Pati. And his strength is that. His strength is not in doing, he is more in planning, guiding, etc. Mm. That's
what. And his body is predominantly what mode?
Yeah.
For the woman, it's passion, good. For the man.
Goodness. Predominantly goodness. Of course, that doesn't mean all men are in goodness. That should be understood. Then passion is, there are men in goodness, and passion, and ignorance.
Well, the same, I guess you can say the same is true for women. Not all women are...
Yes, as I told. Basically, predominantly, the body is designed in such a predominantly made of passion, and there are women in goodness, women in passion, women in ignorance. Here, men, their body is predominantly in mode of goodness, and they are, though predominant goodness, they are goodness, passion, ignorance. So it's not very easy to get this point, and I can only give the example of pepper. Predominantly passion, but when it is used properly, it is goodness. Overused, it is passion, and underused, it is ignorance. Something like that.
Yeah. One last point. You know, I'm just wondering if all that you're saying is more would have been more applicable during Vedic times and less so during modern times.
2 + 2 = 4 in any time. Whether it's 2 + 2 = 4 is same during the Vedic time and this time and in future to come also. See, this word modern is a very, this word is a cheating word. It cheats everyone. The modern is always modern. 100 years was back also, somebody would say modern time. 5 years back also, somebody would say modern time. 5,000 years or back also, somebody would say it's a modern time. Because now today you are saying modern. Now after 100 years, you know, maybe your great-granddaughter would say modern time. You're old by old time. So how is it, how does
the reason why I say that is because, you know, in Vedic times, there used to be more of a distinction between, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And today, that distinction is not so clear among, you know, there's been so much, you know, Varna, you know, Sankara that, you know, the castes are all mixed up. So it's on that basis that I'm saying this.
Yeah, even though it is messed up, the principles don't change. Principles don't change. Basic principles don't change. The blueprint with which Krishna made this world will not change. It will be the same. Applications may change here and there. Like there, Manu Samhita himself says that according to time, place and circumstance, certain principles apply, certain principles don't apply. Dharma Shastras, they are bound to change. But the principles based on the Dharma Shastras, they would not change. Like you have a saying called principle and a detail. The details would change, but the principle would never change.
Okay, Prabhu, thank you so much.
Okay. So we stop here?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranams. I just have a few questions. Perhaps you can help clarify. Prabhu, actually, this is such a controversial, it was very hurting to even read the purport for me when I didn't get the context. But thank you so much for explaining it in the right context, Prabhuji. I'm grateful to you for that. That said, I do have a couple of questions. Am I right in understanding that Brahminical natured men or women are basically in mode of goodness, and the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas in passion, and the Shudras and more in mode of ignorance? So if that is true, and also the Bhagavad Gita, it says that Chaturvarnyam Mayashrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So it's not by birth that a person acquires these kind of qualities. It's by training, or it's by guna and karma. So I also, we also see for a fact that Srila Prabhupada trained so many people from very, very low classes of society in that sense. I mean, who were not Brahminical in that way, I mean it, and brought them to such a high level. So is a woman an exception to this? Because even a woman can be trained, right? And we do see these days that young girls are educated and they are trained. I mean, yeah, it is material education, I don't deny it. But they are undergoing some kind of training, be it in the material field, and they do come up and do well and shine in the material field too. So am I right? Am I wrong in understanding that a woman can also be trained to come up to the standard, just as how Srila Prabhupada showed by example?
Okay. See, there are many criterias of the modes of nature. Now, among the criterias, to totally reject birth as a criteria is wrong as much as to take birth as the only criteria. Both are wrong. To take birth as the only qualification is wrong. And equally wrong is to reject birth as a qualification at all. Then if you're rejecting birth as a qualification, I'm talking about material field, not about in the spiritual sense. Because it's all Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, man, woman, it's all material only. Nothing to do with spirituality. We're talking about material. So, what about karma? Somebody takes birth in a particular family because of karma. And karanam gunasangasya sadasat yoni janmashu. So, sadasat yoni janmashu because of karanam gunasangasya, because of the association with the modes of nature. somebody who was associated in the previous life in the mode of goodness would be born in a family of mode of goodness. Would be born with mode of goodness. So, to totally disregard birth as a criteria is as wrong as much as to consider birth as the only criteria. So, birth is one of the criteria. It has to be accepted. If you don't accept, then it is like the nature has given a particular birth. Woman can deliver a baby. Man cannot deliver. So, can a man be trained to deliver a baby? No. So, there is an aspect of birth to be considered. Now, when you talk of training, our training is meant to go back home, back to Godhead. Our training is not to make people Brahmanas. Our training is not to make people Kshatriyas. Our training is only meant to people go back home, back to God. If somebody has a Kshatriya quality, use that in Krishna service. Somebody has a Brahminical quality, use in Krishna service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clearly told, I am not a Brahmin, I am not a Kshatriya, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Shudra. Naham Vipro Natsarapati, Narapati, Nath Vaishya, no Shudra. Naham Varni, Nairam Brahmachari, Nath Grahapati, nor am I a householder. Householder includes I am a woman also. So, na Vanastu, I am not a Vanaprastha, neither I am a Sannyasi. I am servant of the servant of the servant. Jo, just serve Krishna and go back home, back to God. Right? This is spiritual path. But when you talk of material things, then there are so many considerations which come. When you are, as long as you identify yourself as a woman, somebody identifies as a man, then the consciousness is material. So then the material formulas apply. That is Varnashrama. So Varnashrama definitely is not based on only birth. And at the same time, it is not that you totally reject birth as a criteria. You just cannot do that. Because that is one of the ingredients. Otherwise, you are rejecting the theory of karma. So, in this way, there should be a balanced approach. It is not that everybody has only Brahmin, only is trained as a Brahmin will go back and back to God. Is there anything written like that? Nobody has said. Even you can be a Shudra tendency. Still go back on back to God. Rather, Vyasa says, in the age of Kali, what is the best birth? Shudra. Because naturally, he's a servant. Ultimately, we want to become servant. Three, simple, straight-hearted. So, it's easy to perform devotion. Which Yuga is the best? Kali Yuga is the best. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, the problems come when you identify yourself as a woman. When somebody identifies himself as a man. And somebody identifies himself as a Brahmin. That is the problem. So, if you are considering yourself as a servant of Krishna, then none of the purports of Prabhupada, including this purport, would make you feel bad. The conditioning is there. That is a problem. Address that conditioning. That conditioning will go away when you chant Hare Krishna and serve according to our nature. What is wrong in being a woman? Serve Krishna being a woman. What is the problem? Why you want to compete with a man? Why want to train? Can't you not use ignorance in Krishna's service? Can't you not use passion in Krishna's service? Say, for example, if somebody's body is made of a passion. Yes, Krishna wants a work to be done. What is wrong in that? So, we don't have to have unnecessary competition. That's what I can answer.
Sure, Prabhu. That's where my question also comes. I have interacted with some Matajis here in ISKCON temple, and not everybody is, you know, in that stereotypical mindset, like you had just mentioned, like a woman likes to, you know, keep the house in order, make round chapatis. I mean, I'm not sure everyone woman subscribes to that kind of stereotypical kind of a frame. I mean, I've seen some Matajis who kind of are not attracted to the philosophy because they have this feeling that I mean, why are women just restricted to the kitchen and domestic? I mean, I have seen so many Matajis who have so many nice skills, Prabhu, who can, who can use it for so many other things. And also because of whatever reasons in the modern ages, a woman, girls are trained, they're very well educated, and they're capable of a lot more things rather than just sitting in the house and cooking. Or I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, who like to do it, let them do. And I also see equally on the other side that men are attracted to these domestic duties. They perhaps, just want to manage the house and have the wife work. I do see a lot of men like that too these days. So that's where my question was, from Prabhuji, because I see that this kind of training, this education is in one way changing the mindset of women. And they're not so much like into making round chapatis these days. They would rather get it ordered. And also like so many other things which were mentioned, like, waiting for the husband to get them a piece of gold or something. I think a lot of women are very well equipped these days that they can afford to get all these things. And in fact, they gift their husbands a lot of things. So I'm seeing these things happening a lot. I mean, in these modern ages, it's a common thing. I don't think I'm the only person who's seeing this. So that's why I was wondering how, we can answer these kind of...
whatever is their qualification, engage them in service. But...
Yes, Prabhuji, sure.
If somebody is an MBA, let her do a business and then earn some money for Krishna and family, no problem. But... she cannot replace motherhood with the fatherhood. You get to give up my point?
Sure, Prabhu. We're not going to those basic things.
When you think of feeding, when a child thinks of getting fed, he looks at father or mother. We are talking about the basic nature, the creation Krishna has done. And there's a philosophy, no problem. As much as possible, anybody can serve Krishna to their capacities. Vyahalya by Holkar, she fought. She went with a sword. So, it is a wrong understanding that the abilities of a woman is curtailed by accepting Vedic culture. It is a wrong understanding. If somebody has it, it is their ignorance.
I totally agree to what you're saying, Prabhu. I'm not saying that it's being curtailed. All I'm saying is there are some women who may not, fit into this stereotypical frame, which is generally painted that you be in the house and, just cook and clean and you can do that well. Because these days, I think women for some reason, like I said, they're trained and they have a lot more capabilities and they are doing quite well also in what they're doing. So that's where I was coming from. It's not to say that you reject what the Vedic, texts or scriptures are saying in describing what a role of a man and woman would be. But all I'm trying to address is that we see that this kind of, a gray area is there also in the men. I see men are getting more effeminate in one sense in Kali Yuga for some reason. Forgive me if I'm making a wrong observation. And women are getting more manly. I mean, I'm seeing this happen around me at least. Maybe I'm wrong in my observations, but I was just coming from that point of understanding, Prabhuji.
Okay. So you can stop here now?
Sure. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for all the efforts in explaining the purport with great detail. Really appreciate your time and effort. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. If no one has any question or comments, we can end now. Yeah, let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas and Prabhuji. Vancha Kalpata Rupeshcha. Haribo.
Kripa Sindhu Pyaye Vacha.
Patitanam Pavane Vyo
Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha.
अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय
प्रेम प्रेम कमल